I want to invite you to reach into your pockets. You didn't know you had this in your pockets, but you do today. I want you to reach into your pockets and take out your imagination glasses. If you have glasses like this, you take them off and you put them aside and you put on your, come on, do it with me. I got to put your imagination glasses on, all right? Everybody has their imagination glasses on so you can see correctly this morning. You have them on? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the worship service so far. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the stories and the study of your word. And we pray that you speak to us once again. In Jesus' name, amen. My name is Peter. Today I want to share with you an experience I had, a sinking experience that it taught me a whole lot. Everybody knew about this. Herod the Tetrarch had just beheaded John, you know, the one called the Baptist. And everybody was in shock. But we could see that the news had especially affected Jesus. He was really sad. Now, I know when I'm sad, I want to be by myself. I want to be alone. And this is what Jesus wanted. He wanted to be alone, if anything, just a moment to mourn for his cousin. But Jesus was a celebrity. And, you know, as celebrities know, you can't go anywhere with people without people following you. It doesn't matter where Jesus went, there the crowd followed him. And so a crowd came from the cities. If I were to guess, I think there was about 5,000 men there, not counting women and children. In fact, I think this was the biggest crowd that had ever gotten together to hear Jesus. And so Jesus spoke to them, and he even healed some of their sick. But you know what they say, time flies when you're having fun. And so before we knew it, it was the end of the day. I was starving. And since I was starving, I guess that everybody in that crowd was hungry too. You know, Jesus sometimes got so involved in ministry that he would forget about details like that. And so I told them, listen, why don't you send them to the towns to get food on their way home? Jesus said, they don't need to go away. You give them something to eat. Say, what? We are supposed to give them something to eat? You know we don't have any money. We would need the salary of 200 days of labor to get enough money to buy food for all these people. In fact, ironically, only a child had planned for lunch that day. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Bring them to me. What? You want to take the kids' lunch? Bring them to me. Okay, Lord. So we brought the bread and the fish to him, and he told everybody to sit down, and he started to pray. And when he was done praying, he started to break pieces of the bread and the fish and give them out. And so the others started to come, and they helped him to give these out. I figured, well, we're going to need more help than this, so I went around the crowd and see if I could borrow some of their baskets. And I brought the baskets. It was just an amazing thing. I don't know how long it took us to give out all that food to all those people until everybody ate and was satisfied. But when we were finished, there were still 12 baskets full of bread and fish. I mean, I couldn't have believed it if I wasn't there. It was amazing. Well, and Judas comes to me, and he whispers in my ear a part of the scroll, a passage from the scroll of Deuteronomy. He said to me, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brethren. Him you shall hear. Peter, this is our chance. Jesus can be the one that will make Judea a paradise again, a land flowing with milk and honey. He can satisfy all our desires. Think about it, Peter. He can defeat those Romans. He can heal the armies when they're wounded in battle. He can satisfy. He can feed entire armies with food. Oh, finally, Israel can be a worldwide empire again. We can be unstoppable. But it has to start with you, Peter, he said, because you're the leader of this bunch. We have to take things into our own hands. Because you know Jesus is not going to do it. Jesus is too nice. We have to help him out. But it has to start with you, Peter, because I don't know why, but the others won't listen to me. Well, by then, the crowd was getting a little bit impatient. We're getting a little loud. And there were some that were chanting, Jesus for King! Jesus for King! And then a man stood up and said, this is truly the prophet who is to come to the world. I thought about that. I said, yes, that's right. This is our opportunity. We can't let this opportunity slide. Because an opportunity like this is not going to come back a second time. We can crown Jesus King, and we can be part of his entourage. Yes, the time is right. Judas is right. Jesus is just too nice. He's not going to do it. So we need to help him out. We need to be a bit street smart. Yes, it's going to be fantastic. It's going to be great. I told the guys, listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to grab him, and we're going to put him on our shoulders. And we're just going to parade him through the streets. Look, the crowd is ready. This is the chance we've been waiting for. But wait for my signal. Let's go. Look, Lord, did you say something? It's time to leave. Get in the boat right now. Hold on, Lord. We're in the middle of something. I'll be right with you now, Peter. Those words brought back some memories. Now, Peter, I remember when my mom used to say, now, Peter, and when she wanted me to do something, and I learned quickly that I better do what she wanted me to do. And if you thought Jesus spoke with authority, you have never heard him when he spoke when he was mad. Jesus was mad. Oh, okay, Lord, I'll tell the others. Hey, guys, it's time to leave. Jesus wants us to get back in the boat. No, Judas said. We can't let this opportunity slide. See, I told you Jesus was too nice. He doesn't have what it takes to be king. If he was truly the Christ, he wouldn't want us to leave now. This is a waste. He was mad. I was kind of mad myself. I mean, why would Jesus want us to leave right now? Doesn't he understand? We need to take advantage of this. We need to be smart. It's the time. It's the right time for him to sit on his throne. What's wrong with him? Well, we gathered our stuff. We walked toward the boat. Jesus stayed behind, though. He's talking to the crowd, telling them, it's time for you guys to leave. Now, I don't want to repeat some of the words that I heard the crowd say, but suffice it to say, they weren't really happy with Jesus. We were very disappointed. All of us were. Judas said, I thought that the Christ would be the one who would make Israel an empire again. But he doesn't have any interest in becoming king. Maybe he is in the Christ after all. I thought about that. Maybe he was right. I truly didn't know who Jesus was anymore. Well, as usual, Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray. Several hours had gone by, and he had not come down. Now, we hadn't completely obeyed Jesus when he told us to sail away from the land, because we wanted to wait for him to see if he would come down and we could sit together and we could talk about this king issue. But since he didn't come, we got into our boat and we sailed toward Capernaum. And John said, we should have taken our stand. We should have put our foot down. Maybe Jesus would have listened to us. We could have crowned him king. We could be telling those Pharisees off right now. Doesn't Jesus understand? See, he doesn't care for us. He doesn't understand. He doesn't care what this does to us. His refusal to be conquered king, what this does for us. People already say that we're following a false prophet. Maybe the Pharisees are right. Maybe Jesus is an imposter. Well, it was smooth sailing at first. But then suddenly a storm hit us. It was a nasty storm. I thought the weather guy said it was going to be a nice night. Those guys don't really know anything. I mean, this was a powerful storm. The wind was so hard. The waves were so big. The water was getting in the boat. And so John and James were trying to get the water out with a bucket. I mean, we were fighting. I mean, we have been in storms before, but nothing like this one. We fought and fought and tried to stay afloat for throughout the night until the morning. And when the morning came, near the morning, we were exhausted. We really gave up. I said to the guys, this is it, guys. We're not going to make it through this one. But then I saw a light. It was small at first, but it was getting bigger and closer to us. And I say, hey, guys, I think we are dying tonight. Look, it's the angel of death. And John looks and says, that's no angel, that's a ghost. A ghost? We're not supposed to believe in ghosts, John. If that's a ghost. That's a ghost if I've ever seen one. If that's not a ghost, you tell me what it is. Because if we were wrong about Jesus being the Christ, surely we can be wrong about this ghost issue. And it got closer, and we were all afraid. We were all shaking. Everybody was covering their eyes. But I guess I was in shock. I couldn't stop looking at this apparition. And it got closer, and as it got closer, it started to walk right by us. And I said, hey guys, I don't think that's a ghost. I think that's Jesus. Jesus! Jesus, is that you? Do not be afraid. It is I. Cleared my eyes. Lord, is that, if that's you, tell me to come to you in the water. Now, by then, it was just an epiphany. I realized that was Jesus. And that Jesus must be the Christ. Because if it, only the Christ could have done all the miracles that we had seen him do. You know, only the Christ could have healed the sick. Only the Christ could have resurrected the dead. Only the Christ, the promised Messiah, could have fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And if it was the Christ, he could make me walk on water too. And so he said, come. Ha, you don't have to tell me twice. Yes, sir. So I rolled up my sleeves. I rolled up my robe. And I said, hold on, Lord. Give me a second here. Let me get in the water here. Oh, this is going to be fantastic. All right, Lord. Oh, this is great. Look at me, Jesus. I'm walking on water. This is fantastic. This is so much fun. Lord, I'm just like you. I'm walking on water. Can you see me? But then I got a big head. And I looked back. The guys in the boat. Hey guys, look at me. I'm the man. I'm walking on water. I got the skill. You don't. Look at me. Ah, this is fantastic. Ah, I got these skills. You guys are envious. I know it. Before I knew it, for some reason, it became difficult to continue to walk. I mean, the wind was blowing so hard, the wave was so big, and all of a sudden, I started to sink, and then before you know it, I fell inside the water. Ah, no big deal. I mean, I was an accomplished swimmer. I had fallen in the water before. But this time it was different because this storm was so powerful. The winds were so powerful. The waves were so big. And I already had been exhausted trying to stay afloat all night. It was difficult to swim. And my life flashed before my eyes. I thought about my wife and my kids. What would happen to them if I died? But mostly I thought about Jesus. About all the experiences we had with him, about how lucky I was that I got to spend time with the promised Messiah. I started to swallow water. I knew it was it. I was going to die that night. But then I said, wait a second. Jesus is out there. He's right there. And so the only thing I can think of is to say, Lord, save me. And before you, I knew it, a strong hand grabbed me by the arm and pulled me right up, and I was inside the boat. That was a close one. Oh, you of little faith. Why did you doubt? I had nothing to say. I had been such a fool. I mean, all I was doing is thinking about myself, letting my guide myself by my own desires, thinking about how this would affect me, how it would benefit me if Jesus was conquered king. I mean, after all, we could be part of his cabinet. He could name me Secretary of State. But I was thinking about myself, and because I was thinking about myself, because I was focusing on how powerful the storm was, I nearly died that night. But Jesus saved me. Jesus saved me. And little did I know that he would do it again. That he would save me again shortly after when he died on the cross. We all looked at each other, probably thinking the same thing. We're a bunch of idiots. How could we have doubted that Jesus is the Christ? He has shown it to us time and time again. And you know, I realized that when we all face troubles, when we all face the storms in our life, we often tend to focus on the storm. We focus on the wind, we focus on the waves, we focus on ourselves, but we don't focus on Jesus. Jesus was right there, and I stopped looking at him. You see, I don't think that Jesus called me into the water to let me drown. He doesn't call us to follow him so that he would abandon us. And so a passage from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah came to my mind. And it said, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned, nor the flame scorch you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior." And then we did what we saw many others do many times. We worshiped him. We worshiped him because it finally dawned on us, duh. It finally dawned on us, we finally realized who he really is. And we said to him, "Truly, truly, you are the Son of God." That's what I learned that night. That was my sinking experience. That's what I know now. And you know, maybe some of you can relate to me. Maybe you can identify with me. Maybe you too have doubts and fears. You're afraid. Maybe you feel like you're sinking, like you're about to drown, that there is no way out. I nearly lost my life that night because I focused on the storm and on myself and not looked at Jesus. I nearly died when he was that close to me. And I am willing to bet that no matter what your doubt is, no matter what your fear is, no matter how deep you feel you're sinking or if you're drowning, I'm willing to bet that Jesus is right next to you too. And when everything seems like it's lost, all you have to do is do what I did. Proclaim, "Lord, save me," and he will pull you right up. Do you believe that tonight, this morning? Do you believe that Jesus can pull you out? See, we all have struggles. We all have our doubts and our fears. And just because we do, it doesn't mean that Jesus is far away. He's right with us. He's right next to us. He wants to save you. He wants to save you. He did it already on the cross, and he wants to do it again and again and again so that you know that he is your God, that he is your Messiah, that you can count on him, you can trust him 100% of the time. He's proved that many times, and he's not afraid to prove it again. Do you believe that this morning? Well, maybe you have doubts. Maybe you have fears. Maybe you have burdens. Jesus invites you to bring him to the foot of the cross and leave them there. And he wants to give you that invitation this morning. As you listen to this song, if you have fears, if you're afraid, if you have doubts, if you feel like you're sinking, if you feel like you need somebody to pull you up, why don't you come up front and tell the Lord by coming up front, I believe you are the Son of God. I'm leaving my fears and my doubts with you. Lord, save me.
My bills are coming due, Lord. 6 days is not that long. She hears a voice so still and low. Said, I've moved like that before. And I'll do this little thing, child, and I'll give you so much more. Until I found you, and I knew it all again. Didn't I walk on the water, and I calmed the raging sea? I spoke to the wind, and it hushed, and I gave you peace. Didn't I run to your rescue? Didn't I hear you when you called? Beside you, just so you wouldn't fall. Didn't I leave all of heaven just to die for your sin? I searched until I found you.
you all stand as we pray? Father, yet once again we are before you with so much in our hearts and so hard to explain and to proclaim how thankful we are that you have already delivered us from the problem of sin in our lives. We thank you for Jesus. Lord, we look forward to a day when we can truly, face to face, praise you and honor you and exalt you and worship you. Bow down before you in thanksgiving for all that you've done. But Lord, the reality of life in a sin-filled world is that we have troubles. We are afraid sometimes because of the circumstances around us. We have burdens. And Lord, sometimes, if we're honest, we ask ourselves, where are you when we go through these trials? But Father, this morning, once again, you have shown us from your word, from the beautiful stories in your word, and is that you don't abandon us. That when things seem hard, when there are circumstances that, yes, make us doubt, that you know it. And oh, Lord, you have ways to making your point. You did it with Peter. And Father, I'm willing to bet that if every one of us would give a testimony this morning, we can proclaim that you have done it with us too. Amen. That you have shown us that you're dependable, that you're trustworthy, that you don't abandon us when we need you the most. You are right there. Oh, Lord, we recognize we don't deserve anything from you. We're sinful human beings. But all the more glory to you because you're such a patient God, a merciful God, and a gracious God. Lord, this morning we symbolically have stood here bringing those burdens to you, bringing our fears and our doubts to you so that you will take them away, so that we will leave this place with our head up high, knowing that if you walked on water, that you sent Jesus to die for our sins. If you have resolved the problem of sin, if we have the promise and the certainty of eternal life, that these little things that we go through in our lives here on earth, you will take care. We thank you, Lord, for taking care of those things. And Lord, you know the hearts and the burdens that some of us have today. You know there are situations that right now need to be resolved. You know them. And so we lift these things up to you, so that you will teach us that we can trust you, but ultimately so that you will be exalted and glorified. So we pray for these situations. Oh Lord, you who walked on water, you who created heaven and earth, you who specializes in the impossible, please, please take care of these things. Glorify yourself in the midst. Thank you, Father. We praise you today. We honor you in the mighty and holy and awesome name of our Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ. Amen.